I greet you in the holy name of Jesus. It brings me great joy to see Mrs. Wiles directing the school choir. This brings me back quite a few years. Let all the earth cry out for joy. He has done great things. I first must say thank you as vice chairman for our Synod's Board for Ministerial Education. I recognize the important role that St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Saginaw plays for our Synod's ministerial education schools. Lifting up the prophet's hands as you will, your support of Michigan Lutheran Seminary and our other schools. I recognize that some of you here, with tears in your eyes, have said goodbye to faithful pastors and sent them over to a place called Mequon to train the next generation of pastors. God be praised. I thank God for you. And I thank God for you personally as John Bordelon, the church and school of St. Paul's, where my wife was raised, what this church has done for my family and extended family. I thank God for you. Doug's my neighbor. My number one mission prospect. He grew up in Saginaw, Michigan. Don't think he's been in church since he was 12. A few times, because when my kids go over with Christmas Eve invites, he can't say no to little Maria, can he? And so Doug takes me to the airport because I'm flying out to Salt Lake City to preach for Tyler Peel's installation service. And he goes, so why again are you going to Salt Lake? What is this all about? What are you doing? What are we all about? The vicar handed in his sermon. He was a pretty good sermon writer, that vicar. But finally, his bishop had to scrawl at the top of his sermon, "So what? What's the point? You got to get to the point why any of this matters." This is why it matters. I know people who are dear to me who still have mud on their shoes from their last trip to the cemetery. This is why it matters. My associate texts me on Friday as he's walking out of the neonatal intensive care unit, and it's going to be a long, long journey ahead. We're so thankful for the waters of baptism. This matters. It matters for a man. He had a great need. His friends knew he had a need, and the report was there that Jesus was home. And so they went to see Jesus. Can you picture this scene? They went to see Jesus, but because of the crowds of people, they couldn't get their friend. And to have friends like this, they couldn't get their friend to Jesus. So they go up on the roof and they cut a hole in the roof. What did that look like? And they lowered their friend down so that Jesus could do something for him. But that man had a need greater than his purpose. Paralysis. That man's need was the forgiveness of sin, and so that they would know that Jesus Christ has the authority to forgive sin. Go ahead, take up your mat and walk. I ask you, what are you doing here? St. Paul's on the corner of Court and Bond Streets. What are we doing here in this little corner of the kingdom called the Wisconsin Synod? There are people in need out there. And will there be a church, and will there be a church body ready to enter into the fray and to send people out to proclaim the one thing needed? There's lots of churches. And there's lots of things being said. I was driving up 75 last night. Where was I? Just a little bit south of Grand Blanc, I think. And there's that picture of Jesus on the side of the road. You know the one I'm talking about? It's the picture of Jesus, which is like in every one of our Sunday school classrooms. And now they got it on the side of 75. It's a big picture. And underneath it, do you know the inscription if you've ever driven up 75? Are you on the right road? I go, that's catchy. I see what they did there, you know. Are you on the right road? It's a lost statement. Plenty of churches directing, are you on the right road? Is there going to be a church that's willing to go forth in the name of Jesus and to let it fly and to deal with sinners where they're at, not to excuse sin, but to speak the one thing that can save, to speak in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins. Jesus Christ forgave this man's sins, And he was about teaching and preaching. What he was teaching and preaching that day, Mark doesn't seem fit to tell us. Earlier, Mark had told us his message was this: repent and believe the good news. And then Jesus goes along a little bit further. He's on the road, and such an interesting thing he says to a man, follow me. Follow me. No bartering, no haggling, no where is this going to take me. Just simply follow me. And did you see the one who he called? It was a tax collector. This was his occupation. He was in the business of squeezing the fellow Jews for the sake of the Romans and for his own benefits. Follow me. And you see, Jesus is able to look past the muck and the mire. He was able to look past that man's occupation, and he saw a man in need. And the man's name wasn't Doug, and the man's name wasn't your neighbor. The man's name was Levi. You know him better as Matthew. It's Alpheus' boy, and he sees through, and he sees a man in need, and his name is Levi, and he says, follow me. And this is not a rags-to-riches story. This is a story from a dead-end sort of life, a way that was following the devices of his own heart. That was Levi's way, and the Lord Jesus, through a powerful message, called him, follow me, and Levi left, and he became a herald of the good news. Follow me. Follow me was spoken to you. For many of you, it probably happened at that font or a font like it. Follow me. And there was no bartering, and there was no haggling, and there was no back and forth. The powerful voice of the Lord Jesus called, and you followed. And for others, this happened later on in life. And you know the dead-end ways of life where our hearts can take us. It's a way of vice, looking for the bad things. Or sometimes we're looking for the good things for the wrong reason. And the Lord loved you enough, all of you enough, to send a voice, to send somebody to speak into your ears a powerful word, a word that forgives sins and follows me. There is real joy on this day. Not just to stand in the pulpit of this beautiful place, but there's real joy for me that I belong to Him by grace. There's real joy for you too. And that could actually be enough for today. You know, maybe the second service, I'll end it here, and we'll get to the potluck a little bit earlier. There's actually more. So that when Jesus Christ calls Levi to follow him, then see where this story goes. Then when Jesus was reclining at a table in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples because many of them were also following him. And when the experts in the law and the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Don't you love that? Mark just says, this is where Jesus goes. He goes to be with the tax collectors and the sinners. It's like it was their occupation. Jesus goes to a place where they were sinning and they were good at it. It seems like Jesus will stop at nothing to have his good news heard. And the Pharisees were upset. Why is Jesus eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? Well, that shows the opinion of themselves. It shows their opinion they did not know who Christ was. When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "The Pharisees, those who are healthy, do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And so my question for St. Paul's Lutheran Church on the corner of Court and Bond Streets is, so what? I'm thinking maybe you know some folks who find their occupation as sinners. I think you know some folks who are looking for their righteousness in all the wrong places. I think you know some folks who would see a sign on 75 and see a picture of Jesus and are you following the right road, and they don't care, and it's not just around here, places around this world. remember probably the first three or four Joint Mission Council meetings I was at, I would kind of nod my head in agreement, but at the same time, I was looking at Google Maps. Where exactly are these places? And to rejoice that the Lord Jesus would have his saving name heard in them. And is there going to be a church? Is there going to be a church like this one that's willing to step out into the fray, to step out into the mess, not just to point to Jesus, this is the right thing to say, but actually to find people to point that Jesus to? His name is Doug in my life, and then there's a list of them through our congregation. There's a list of folks that I have an opportunity to point the Christ to, and so do you. The physician does not come for healthy people, but for sick people. A brother pastor of mine makes this most helpful distinction. He says, don't rejoice in your sin. Your sin will surely damn you apart from Christ. Don't rejoice in your sinfulness. You know, the good you want to do, you don't do. The evil you don't want to do, this you keep getting tripped up. And don't rejoice in your sinfulness or your sin, but rejoice in this. Rejoice that you're a sinner. Rejoice in being that lot of people for whom Christ Jesus came, not as an idea, but he came 2 feet squarely into this world to see your greatest need and to forgive it. Will this still work? By the authority of Jesus Christ, Son, your sins are forgiven. As he was passing by, Jesus saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in a tax booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. Can you be so bold today? The future of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, the future of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is you get to speak in the name of and in the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives sinners, who forgives you. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.